Hey, what's going on, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of No BS. You know me, it's Rob, the host with the most, coming back to you live for another awesome episode alongside my colleague, Mr. Adam Birchman. What's going on, Adam?
Not much, Rob. Just enjoying vacation. How's it going up there?
Can't complain. Columbia is not going too terrible. How's your vacation been?
It's been pretty good. It's been just a stay at home, so just done a lot of stuff around the house, relaxing, and Ubered a lot. So, yeah.
Can't complain. Columbia is not going. Awesome. I saw you had some family come up.
Yeah, that was last week. My mom and aunt and uncle came to visit for a few days, so it's pretty cool.
Awesome. And speaking of family, your sister had a birthday.
She did, yes.
Yeah, happy birthday to Jessica.
Happy birthday, Jess, from everyone.
Shout out to Jessica out there. Hopefully you had a good birthday, Jess. Well, Adam, I don't want to knock on wood. Actually, I'm going to knock on wood, and I'm going to say we're having some pretty good, without saying it, you know what I'm saying, I'm trying to say so far. So hopefully,
what you're saying.
So hopefully you know what I'm saying, and so far it keeps that way. Thank you all for those who are watching us on Facebook Live and also who are listening to us on Spotify, iTunes, and Google Podcasts. We appreciate the love. Like we do every – we do ask every week you share, you know, and just help us get our message across. You know, we're trying to do big things with this show. So we can't do that without you guys. So, you know, for those who have continued to support this show, we appreciate it. And we hope they keep giving you content for months to come. So, like we like to do with every single show, you know, Adam, anyone else you want to give a shout-out to before we kick this off?
Yeah, I do want to give one shout-out to the Baltimore Orioles. There's a record broken last night in the games that the Yankees have played them this season, which is 13, I believe, so far. They've hit 50 home runs against them. That's the most any team's had against one team in a single season. So thank you for allowing us to hit a lot of home runs off your poor pitching, trying to fight your coach in the dugout or your manager in the dugout, and just every other issue that you're having, because you were once a proud franchise, but it's kind of dropped off recently. So thank you for allowing us to break a record against you.
And I know, Adam, we don't have this on the table to talk about, but I feel like just real quickly – obviously, the amount of home runs has been a hot topic in the MLB this season. As a fan, since you're, you know, out of you, me, and Dustin, you're the only really true baseball fan, really. So as a fan, has all these home runs downed your interest in baseball? Do you think it's kind of ruining the league? Like, what's your opinion?
Well, if you were to go to a baseball game, Rob, where would you want to sit at a baseball game? Like, what part of the stadium?
That's a great question. I guess, in my opinion, I guess anywhere where I have the highest chances of getting a home run, if there was one. So maybe center field or left or right field. I definitely wouldn't want to sit behind a home plate unless I'm like right behind home plate. But otherwise, other than that, I want to sit out where I have a chance to get a home run.
Right. So a lot of fans want to have that opportunity to catch a home run ball. That's why everyone brings their glove with them to the game. I enjoy sitting in the outfield myself. So do I think it's a problem? I mean, it's just every sport's evolved, and baseball, for some reason, there's a lot of naysayers that don't want the sport to evolve and grow as time goes on. They want it to be that original type of play and how it was 100 years ago. And, you know, every other sport that's transitioned to new rules and technology and things like this, it's been nothing but positive for them. You know, you have some fans that are upset, but I think the overall enjoyment level goes up when you keep up with the times, if you will. And I'm not saying change everything, but I do think the home runs being hit, though, is more of them is a good thing for baseball, because right. Pitching is also at an all-time high, too, with the amount of pitchers that are having low ERAs and strikeouts per walk ratios. So I think the sport's just changing is what it is, but I don't mind it at all.
But not only that, but Adam, what did they say about the chicks in the long ball?
What did they say about what?
And what did they say about chicks in the long ball?
We'll let you take that one.
That chicks love the long ball, you know? So, you know, I mean, if I was an MLB player, let's be honest, like, how do you get famous in a sport like baseball? You know, if you're someone that hits a lot of home runs, you get a lot of publicity, you get a lot of fan base, which in return gets you a lot of the ladies, and the ladies love the long ball. I just kind of relate this to what people think about the NBA, and I know I don't want to get too much into this since we're trying to start our show, but a lot of people have a problem with the threes taking over in the ML in basketball. So I kind of related to that. You know, people think that all these three pointers are ruining the league, but then I don't think so. I mean, in my opinion, threes are kind of the most exciting things in a game. And what's the most exciting thing in a baseball game? Home runs.
Right. So, I mean, I do think that, you know, with the 3-point shot becoming more relevant, I do think it's changed the game. And, you know, at some points I'm not a fan of it. But if you think about it, the 3-point line really has only been around for what, maybe half a quarter to half of the time the NBA has been a professional league.
Exactly.
So of course it's gonna change over time, you know, and evolve. So
Exactly. So anyway, I just had to ask you that real quickly since, you know, you brought up baseball. So Adam, thanks for everybody for tuning in. What we're going to talk about, you know, the whole NCAA rule with the whole agents and the bachelor's degree. Then we're going to continue our division breakdown tonight. We're going to talk about the NFC East. If you missed the last podcast, don't worry. You can go back in on Spotify, iTunes, and Google Podcasts and listen to us break down the other divisions. So far, we've covered the South, AFC West. Last week we covered the AFC North. This week again is NFC East, and then next week we're going to talk about the AFC South. Go back and listen to those podcasts so you can hear what Ab and I thought of those divisions, and you get to hear who we pick's going to win the division, and also we've also broke down the best running backs in the league, and then also the best wide receivers. So those are good listens.
Can I say something real quick?
Yeah, what's up, Ab?
I do think that when we broke down the running backs, I think I definitely for sure screwed up and did not have Saquon.
Yes,
my list. So, my reasoning though is that I think he's going to get hurt pretty early this year. I know that's a terrible thing to think, but I think with the wide receiver issues and the health of wide receivers for the Giants, I see them using him a lot, and they're not the smartest franchise. They don't make a lot of logical decisions that you and I would. So that was my decision making.
Right. And I'm going to ask you.
I think he's a great running back.
Yeah. Like I said, I was a little surprised you didn't have him in there. And I called you on that. Like, you didn't even have him part of your honorable mentions. And I was like, what? So, but we'll get into that. So let's, Adam, I want to go ahead and just start with the NCAA thing. Obviously, for those who don't know, the NCAA recently, they passed a new rule that says that in order for agents to represent players who are going into the NBA, you must now have a bachelor's degree. Now, before that, that was obviously not required, and all you had to do is be a certified agent. But now the NCAA is stepping up their restrictions and saying, not only do you have to be a registered agent, now you have to be someone with a bachelor's degree. A lot of people are calling this the Rich Paul rule, because most notably, Rich Paul.
Who's he an agent for, Rob?
Well, he's an agent for a lot of big name players, but more notable is a LeBron James or Anthony Davis. But a lot of people are calling it the Rich Paul rule. And even LeBron James went on Twitter and, you know, pretty much, you know, slandered and pretty much beat up on the NCAA, saying this was a direct shot at Rich Paul. So I'm going to start with you, Adam. A, do you like the rule? And two, do you think that this was a direct shot at Rich Paul?
I don't necessarily like or dislike the rule. I'm going to have to see how things play out, but I kind of get it, because if you think about it, Rob, if a lot of these players trust, or a lot of professional athletes in general, in the earlier years of their career, trust people with their money that maybe are questionable, or that they shouldn't, you know, instill the trust in. Like, maybe it's a family member. Like Kawhi Leonard, for example, his uncle has been his main decision maker throughout his career, especially of late. And we saw how he sat out a year with San Antonio, and it could have cost him money, but he ended up, you know, going to Toronto and doing what he did. Now he's in L.A. But I think that the idea behind the NCAA is to help get these, you know, college athletes or college students, essentially is what they are, to be able to be on a track that's going to lead them in the right direction. And sometimes, you know, if you go with your, you know, your bro or someone that you are close to, you know, things can happen that you might not have when you have a professional that does the job all the time. But I don't think it's targeted at Rich Paul, but I think that it's pretty clear that that's, I don't even think he's really a prime example. I think a prime example is just of someone that, you know, hasn't gone through the system and learned the way that you're, you know, how to represent someone properly. So maybe that has something to do with it. So I'm not really for or against it. I'd like to see how it plays out. But I do see kind of where it does point in the direction of Rich Paul. But if you look at it, like you said, he's got more athletes or more clients than just LeBron and Anthony Davis. You know, I think, doesn't he have Patrick Beverly? I
believe. He's got several. I think even Draymond Green is now an agent.
Draymond Green, yeah, you're right.
Like, the list goes on and on. He keeps getting all these big name players. Did you want to add more to it?
Like I said, I mean, I a lot of us watch college basketball and, you know, we watch the tournament, but it's getting to be a real slippery slope again because, you know, it's holding back grown, you know, men and women that want to support their families. And now you're giving them another mountain they have to climb when you can't really even talk to someone because everyone speculates that you're taking money from them. So it just makes things a little bit more challenging. But like I said, I'm interested to see what happens. What's your take on it?
Well, I definitely agree with, you know, a lot of what you said. But here's my thing, Adam. In my opinion, this is a direct shot at Rich Paul. And so the Rich Paul rule, as people are calling it, is understandably and well-deserved to be called that. And the reason why I say that is, Adam, well, let me first, before I get into that, let me just say the NCAA has been going down a wrong path for the longest time. You know, there's been a lot of debate whether they should support, you know, they're a $1 billion agency that banks off of these athletes who make no money off all the advertising they're bringing to the sport. So they're under a lot of scrutiny of late. So I think in a way this all ties together. And, you know, as far as, you know, they're tired of being criticized. And so they're trying to tighten things up and, you know, and trying to make a stand and things like that. So I think that has a little bit to do with it. I also think the NCAA rules are, what they really need to focus on is making it more transparent and more fair. And I know this has a little bit to do with the NFL and NBA, but I think it's weird that someone in college basketball only has to go to college for 1 year, whereas NFL, you have to go at least 2 years before you can even go, before you can turn pro, which I think is completely, I think is stupid. So, but again, I know that's too different, but I'm just saying, like, there needs to be more transparency between the two major sports as far as NCAA is concerned. I know it's off topic, but I needed to say that. But secondly, so to focus on what the topic is, it definitely is, Adam. And here's why. So Rich Paul recently, just as recent as last year, criticized the NCAA, saying that they don't do what's in best interest for their athletes, and all they care about is themselves. And that him as an agent, he personally tries to focus on and does what's best for his agent. And he's absolutely right. And really, that's what an agent's supposed to do. Like you already said, they're supposed to represent an athlete and do what's best for them. And in my opinion, why do you need a degree to do that? And like, you don't, you know, and the thing is like, not even all these athletes, even now, like a Kawhi Leonard, here he is, like his, like he, you, all you hear is about his uncle. What is it? Uncle Drew.
I believe Uncle Drew is Kyrie Irving.
What is it? Uncle, man, it's totally, you know who I'm talking about. Yeah. Pretty much that's his agent, the one that he associates with, but he doesn't have a college degree. And so I think it's even more important for them to force him to do things like this is ridiculous. And I think the reason why they're doing it is because, again, they're threatened by someone like Rich Paul, who's probably the most popular agent in sports right now, especially in the NBA.
he's not like in sports, but
okay, in NBA, he's one of the most up and coming athletes. And the NCAAs, they're intrigued by this. They're seeing that their bottom line is going to be hurting because not only is he taking these athletes, for an example, a top prospect in Darius Bazley, who was going to be a top prospect at a high school, instead of going to the NCAA, he convinced him and offered him an internship with New Balance that would pay him $1 million while he sat out before he could go pro next year. NCAA's thinking like, well, damn, that's a direct hit on us. Now we can't make money off of him. And now, you know, they're trying to regulate things where now they require people to have to go to the NBA. Or, I'm sorry, to the NCAA, because their bottom dollar is going to be hurting if they can't get these prospects anymore, Adam. And so to say this is not a direct towards, you know, him, and what's the one common denominator with Rich Paul than these other ages? The fact he doesn't have a college degree. So I don't think it's ironic that they came up with this rule after Rich Paul criticized them. Not only that, but he's taking these top prospects away from their league and, you know, and letting them sit out, or their, you know, the NBA also is offering them other options to go to the G League. And so, in my opinion, I think in the next few years, the NCAA is going to be in a lot of trouble because they're going to have all these big contracts from, you know, TV deals, but they're not going to have any big name players to justify all that money. And I think they're hurting, Adam. I really do. I think the NCAA is in a lot of trouble. And I think they're trying to do whatever they can to regulate this and make sure that someone like Rich Paul doesn't influence potential big money cows for them. So, I mean, that's my opinion. I think just directly, it's understandably, it should be called the Rich Paul rule. Because if Rich Paul had a degree, if Rich Paul, I think, wasn't directly criticizing them, they wouldn't care. But the NCAA needs to get other things more. They need to get other stuff under control first before they try to go after their agents. Like they need to get cracked down on teams for taking money from all these big shoe companies in order to get recruits and things like that. They have bigger problems, Adam.
Well, they need to figure out about paying their student athletes first.
And that's number one. That's their number one biggest issue, is figure out how to make it fair to where they're paying their student athletes or compensating them in some way. Because just college football alone, they're making billions of dollars off the college football playoff. That's the only reason why we have a college football playoff right now, is because it's additional money for them. And so that's problem A they need to figure out. And then two, try to figure out how all these recruiting violations are going on. And maybe this is their way, and that's why I've heard some defenses, that this is why they're requiring bachelor's degrees to prevent some of these things. But it's not. I mean, but Rich Paul, to my knowledge, has not done anything illegal. He's just, like you already said, presenting athletes with a different option to get to the league rather than going through the traditional NCAA. And,
well, and that's what it is right there, is what you said, traditional. He's not traditional by any state of the matter.
Yeah.
And let's be honest, most agents, you know, that we see on TV, like Scott Boras and Drew Rosenhaus, you know, I mean, Rich Paul looks different than them. And I'm not taking anything away from that, because I'm, you know, Rich Paul's, I think Zion actually signed with him too, if I'm correct.
No, he signed with, he's not signed with Rich Paul. A lot of people are shocked by that, but he's not.
But I mean, if you look, a lot of players are going to Roc Nation with Jay-Z.
Kyrie.
And Rich Paul. Rich Paul's trying to expand in other sports, because I know he's got athletes in other sports. I just can't think of them. But, I mean.
Either, but he's primarily basketball right now. He's probably the biggest NBA agent right now.
Oh, he's up there for sure.
As far as big name notable players, like, you know, he's got, I mean, we've already said he's got Anthony Davis, LeBron James, so he's already got two of the top five players in the league under his will. And, yeah. Right.
So I got pulled up here, not to cut you off, but he's got Eric Bledsoe, John Wall, Ben Simmons, AD, like you said, Draymond, and LeBron in the NBA right now.
So. Exactly. And those are top 20, and all of them are all top 20, top 25 players, you know, people would argue. So, yeah, and it's only going to get bigger. He's only going to continue to get these big-name players. So, like I said, the NCAA just needs to focus on more important things like compensating – their athletes. They need to figure out this whole player-like stuff. You know, you and I are both gamers, and I miss the NCAA football games. they need to get the whole naming rights and things figured out so we can get an NCAA football game back and NCAA basketball game back. Because, man, I miss those. Like, don't get me wrong, I love me some Madden and stuff like that. But, man, those college football games were fun.
Yeah, oh, for sure.
And the one thing that I like about the new Madden game is you get to play, like, two games in the NCAA, like the college football. So it's kind of cool. They're slowly bringing it back. But I want a full-blown college football game and a full-blown college basketball game. So they need to figure out how to compensate these athletes and get the likeness approved so we can bring that money back. And that's a way for them to make additional money. They're worried about players having other options to go pro. Then come up with other ways to make money. And another way we'd make money is finding a way to pay athletes as far as their likeness and then make money off these video games and other sources. Like, NCAA is doing just fine. They're doing just fine. So this is just stupid. And a lot of people are saying this is kind of a racial move as well. Shannon Sharp said this is another way of getting the man, you know, getting the black man down. And, you know, there is some little bit of racial undertone in this as well. Obviously, I'm not African-American. I can't say I agree or disagree. I can't relate to it or anything like that. But I see his valid points that this could be a racial undertone kind of rule. Because if this was you and I, if we were to do this, would this so-called be required? And the thing that I think is stupid, though, Adam, that I also think is ridiculous as part of it is, so once you get a bachelor's degree, it's not good enough. Then you have to go to Indiana and sit at the headquarters of NCAA and get certified by them. So let me get this right. I have to get a degree, my bachelor's degree, and then have to turn around and be certified to you as well. What sense does that make?
Yeah.
But not only that, but I'm representing athletes who are going to be leaving your league anyway. So why does this matter? I can't represent him why he's playing ball. This is I'm representing him as he's leaving your league. So why do you even care? Like, this should be an NBA issue, not even you. Like, I'm just confused by this, Adam. I don't get it. You know? So that's my thing, man. I think it's stupid. It makes absolutely no sense. And I think it makes the NCAA look terrible and makes them look bad. But that's just my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, but their whole goal is to keep college basketball players arguably in college longer. Because football, they're there for 3 years. Basketball, you can one and jump. Baseball, you don't even have to go to college. You can be drafted out of high school. So, I mean, you know, that's their goal is they're trying – because they make all their money off of those 3 weeks in March. That's where they make all their money. I mean,
you're absolutely right, but – if that's the case, you need to work that with the NBA. So that's all I'm saying. I mean,
well, we already know Adam Silver.
And let me go back and I don't mean to cut you off, but this goes back to compensating too. Why do players make that jump to go to pro as soon as they can? Because they have families to take care of, Adam. If there was a way to compensate their athletes in a way, and I know it's probably hard to do, and I know the controversy and potential what that could open up to. But Adam, if there was a way for these players to somehow make some of these billion money off these billions that all these athletes are making for the NCAA to support their family, what need would they need to go to the NBA?
Right. That's
just my point. You know, like they don't want to be there, Adam. Let's be real. They're only in college because they have to be. Yeah. I'm sure there's some people that would love to go. They want to be part of it. No, I mean, if I was a top prospect in the NBA or in college, or in high school, I had a chance to go to college. Don't get me wrong. I want to go make money, but it would be kind of cool to play in the NCAA tournament for a Coach K. You know, I think Coach K is the greatest coach of all time. If I had a chance to play for Coach K, I think I would have that opportunity to. You know, so I can't say that college is a waste of time because, honestly, I do think that athletes get better prepared for the next level if they do play in college. But then again, now the NBA is offering you the G League as an opportunity. So how relevant is the NCAA going to be in the next 5 to 10 years whenever all these other options? Like, people are going to Australia and play to avoid the NCAA. And I think it's because they have a bad connotation of the NCAA right now, and they view them as kind of the bad guy right now. And they need to fix their image and get that right. Otherwise, people are going to continue to go to Australia and go to the G League. That's just me.
Right. Yeah, I mean, Adam Silver's an outside-the-box thinker, so I'm sure that he's already got a few ideas in place.
He's the best commissioner in all of professional sports.
Right now, yeah, arguably.
Like, it's not even a competition between him and Roger Goodell. I don't know much about Rob Manfred in the MLB. I don't know much about the NHL, but in my opinion, I think out of all the commissioners, he's done more to grow the league than any other commissioner as far as their respected, business. But that's just my opinion. I don't know. Like you said,
he's been an athlete favorite type of commissioner. You know, a lot of his other commissioners mainly kind of try to cater to the owners. And it started with David Stern.
And it's a player league, though.
And then Adam Silver stepped in and implemented all his, ideas after taking over for David Stern. And he's more of a players type of man or a commissioner than Manfred or Goodell are, for sure.
And then they start taking notes from these Silver, because it's a players league. People don't watch the NBA to watch – these owners. Half the people don't even know the names of half these owners, but people recognize these players in the NBA. And so they need to realize what makes them money. So I think only in the NFL do we really know team owner names.
Yeah.
And I mean, for the most part, I bet you could name at least 5 GMs for the NFL. But if I asked you to add, or owners, but if I asked you to name 5 owners or GMs for the NBA, you probably couldn't.
So yeah,
that's just what I'm saying. So, anything else you want to touch on that, Adam, or do you want to?
I want to show you something real quick. Look at this.
What's going on?
We got football on TV.
We do. For those who are listening to us on Spotify, Google, or iTunes, Adam is watching some preseason. Because for those of you who don't know, NFL preseason kicks off tonight. I think there's 11 games tonight.
Yeah, it's like 10 or 11.
Yeah. So. Football's back, people. Which, Adam, glad you brought that up. That's a nice transition to our next topic. And for those of you who can't see Adam on Facebook Live, Adam's kind of throwing a little throwback tonight. He's wearing his Isaac Bruce St. Louis Rams, emphasis on the St. Louis part, Rams, Isaac Bruce Hall of Fame wide receiver. He's rocking that. Adam, I'm a little surprised. I never knew you were an actual Rams fan at some point.
I mean, I think everyone in Missouri at one point in time was a Rams fan when they won the Super Bowl. So, unless you're a diehard Chiefs fan. And they were – when I first started watching the NFL, they were kind of relevant. Because I didn't really start watching professional football until, late 90s, early 2000s. So –
what's your favorite moment of the Rams when they were in St. Louis?
Ah, man, there's – quite a few, but the one that stands out for me is the Super Bowl where they stop Mike Jones on the 1 yard line in the Super Bowl. So I mean,
or Mike Jones made the stop on the 1 yard line.
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah, and true story, Adam. I know I've never told you this, but the year after they won that Super Bowl, the summer of that year they won that, Michael Jones held his football clinic at the University of Missouri, and I went to it. And I actually got to meet Michael Jones. And I got his autograph, and I also got to meet some of the Rams players that year. Unfortunately, Kurt Warner and Marshall Faulk or even Isaac Bruce wasn't there. Actually, I think he might have been there. But some of the big names, Marshall Faulk, Kurt Warner, weren't there. But I actually got to meet Michael Jones.
Yeah, I think – didn't you get his number, too? Isn't it 281-330-8004?
Wait, what are you talking about?
Never mind.
Yeah,
Blair Watch will understand that. They listen to any music, so
I think I know what you're saying, but anyway, like he had a football clinic at the University of Mizzou this summer after they won the Super Bowl, and I actually got to meet Mike Jones, so it was kind of cool. So, but anyway, Adam, since you already talked about NFL, let's focus on that. Like I said, we're continuing our division breakdown this week. We're gonna, after a little confusion between us, and I apologize. We're gonna talk about the NFC East. That's a hot topic in this offseason, mainly because of some players who have been in the news all offseason. Obviously, we're talking about Zeke and also Carson Wentz. So, Adam, let's like we do every single week so far, let's break down each team in the division, and maybe I'm going to ask you some questions about these specific teams. So let's just talk about the main one in the Cowboys. They've won the NFC East 2 out of the last 3 years. They have a lot of questions going into this year, mainly contract-wise, between Dak, Zeke, and Amari Cooper. But, however, everyone's at camp but Zeke. He's hanging out in Cabo right now. And it's been reported that he told them in January of last year that if he doesn't get a contract, he would not be – he's prepared to sit out the entire year if he doesn't get a contract. So I guess, Adam, I have to ask you this. If you're Zeke, is that the appropriate move? If you're Zeke, you know, do you think that's the effective way to get a contract? What would you do if you're in Zeke's shoes?
If I was in Zeke's shoes.
And mind you this, Adam, let me throw this out. Every day that he misses – he costs him $40,000 every day that he misses.
Yeah, that's like toilet paper to him.
Maybe not on a rookie deal. That's a lot of money.
Yeah, but he's got a lot of money with endorsements. So, I mean, you know, Rob Gronkowski didn't spend a dime of his playing contract when he played in the NFL. He's used all his money off his endorsements.
But what endorsement does Zeke have? Like, and that's a legit question. Like, I see Dak, but I don't see Zeke. Like, what endorsements do you know that he has?
I know he's got some because I've seen him on a lot of commercials before.
I mean, I'm not doubting you, but and this ain't even a joke or anything. I legitimately cannot think of one advertisement I've seen him, but I see Dak all the time.
I mean, he's sponsored by TMZ, is he not?
Again, I don't know. That's why I was asking.
I mean, he's on there constantly. So
I see you saying. I see you doing there. Yeah, you would think, yeah.
But no, man, if I were him, see, I'm too much of that type of person that likes to actually. It'd be hard to say if I was making that kind of money, but I would think I'd like to actually play the sport and be in the game and do things like, but that's just my mentality. Apparently he's all about himself more than he is the team. So, I mean, we'll see if it hurts Le'Veon Bell sitting out a year. And if he's able to come back and be the same type of player he was, which I really think he will be, but I mean, if he thinks that's the best move for him, then so be it, you know. It's kind of – I mean, the shelf life of a running back's not very long, but he's kind of a rare breed of elite running back. So, you know, I pose an interesting point to you, which I'll bring up a little bit later, earlier this week. But I'm kind of interested to hear what you guys say about it.
Sure. So, absolutely, I think he should. I mean, this is the only big payday that Zeke's going to get. Like it's not like a quarterback where Dak's going to get at least one more contract after this one. Whereas Zeke's not. And so, yeah, Zeke has to flex any muscle that he has. And we talked about this already in the past shows that he holds a lot of leverage. And so rightfully so he can make that decision. Cause I've said in previous episodes is that this ship goes as far as Zeke takes them. But at the same time, we've discussed before, the Cowboys have a little bit of leverage as well. Some of his off the field antics and things like that. So, I mean, it literally is a stare down right now. And it's really who flexes first, who blinks first. I do give Dak and Amari Cooper a little bit of credit, the fact that they're still at least in camp. And here's another thing that we haven't talked about this before, Adam, but and I've heard this on other podcasts here in the last few days is what's one thing that people fear about happening next offseason, Adam?
With just the NFL or
yeah, with the player bargaining
possibly a strike next year?
Yeah, there's a lot of talk about there being a lockout season next year. So let's just say hypothetically. I don't think it's going to get to this point. Let's say hypothetically he does sit out the entire year, and then the following year they have a lockout. So that means the money that he's making right now, and again, I'll mention this again, he's losing $40,000 every day he doesn't show up. So is he prepared? Does he have enough money stored away for 2 years worth? Not like that, Adam, but
I guess if he had an agent that had a bachelor's degree, yeah, probably.
Not like that, but Adam, they still hold Zeke's. They can still hold Zeke for the next 4 years. And the reason why I say that is because they hold him at least – he has 2 years left on his contract, and they can franchise tag him 2 times.
Right. So, but if I – go ahead.
And what I was going to say was if he holds out, it doesn't count as a season that he's played if he doesn't play at all. So it doesn't benefit him at all if he doesn't sit out at all because all those years he's played doesn't count. And so let's say you do sit out this year – and there is a lockout next year, they still own you for 4 more years.
But if I'm Zeke and I want to win a Super Bowl, this is arguably the best team he's been on from top to bottom, because their defense is way better than it was his first year in the league. Way better.
Right, and they have a
great offense. This is arguably his best chance he's had since he's been in the career to win a Super Bowl. So why not? If you want to win one, you know, it's just like they were talking about on ESPN earlier. Like, they're not giving Clemson isn't giving Kelly Bryant a championship ring, even though he won four games for him. You know?
Nope. I didn't hear about that.
Yeah. So, I mean, if I'm Zeke and I want to win a Super Bowl, I'm playing this year. I don't, you know, they'll work out a deal one way or another. But, I mean, this is my best chance to win a Super Bowl, and it might be my only chance, you know, being in the NFL. So, but again, he doesn't really seem to think like that. He's kind of more worried about what his image is and about making sure he can fit into those half shirts that he wears. but here, I got a point to pose at you, and I brought it up to you this earlier this week, and you kind of thought it was a bad idea. What if I'm the Cowboys and I'm Jerry Jones? You know, there's another running back out on the market right now that's sitting there wanting to be traded also and is not going to play. You know, so why not roll the dice maybe and move Zeke to the Chargers and bring in Melvin Gordon? I think it's a win-win-win. I think it's a win for the Cowboys because they get a running back that's wanting to prove himself. And if they want to end up paying him, they can pay him. But if not, you know, this is his – I feel like they won't have to pay him as much money as they do Zeke, because Zeke is a – top three running back, arguably, when he's on his game. Melvin Gordon might not be that, but he can put up points and yards, and he can catch the ball in the backfield as long as he avoids injury. And moving Zeke to L.A., that's a huge win for the NFL. I mean, having your biggest players in your biggest markets, the NBA just did it. I mean, you got four of the top 10 players in the same building playing now. You know, and it'd be similar once the Rams and Chargers have their new stadium and they play in the same stadium. You could have Melvin Gordon or Zeke Elliott and what's his name, Gurley, under the same roof. I mean, and then it's a win because I thought of the idea, so it's a win-win-win, just like on The Office. But like I said, I think it works out for both teams. I mean, if the money's there and you can make it work, I would consider rolling the dice at least. I know you disagree with me though.
Well, first off, I like to always compliment you anytime you're willing to do an Office reference. A little Michael Scott win where everybody wins. A win-win-win situation.
Right.
For those of you who don't watch The Office, you need to go do it because that's a great episode. Anyway, so yeah, like I said, I completely disagree with that because, A, you're not getting the same player back in return. When you trade a top player like Zeke, you trade for another top player in exchange. You don't trade a top player, a franchise player for a player who's less talent than the one you're giving up. And because what do they always say about trades, at least when it says in the NBA, whoever gets the better of the players are the ones that win the trade. So who would win in this trade? It would be the Chargers that win in the trade. It would be the Cowboys that would lose in the trade. Like, I understand you bring up some fair points, Adam. What if you're the NFL? Of course, you want your big market players in LA. Just like Adam Silver will never admit it, I bet he wishes that Zion Williamson was in those bigger markets. I'm sure, but let's not say it. But the Cowboys, even though they're not a bigger market, they're America's team. So, and they've been valued the most profitable franchise, not just in the NFL, but pretty much in all of sports all combined. So obviously, him being in LA or being in Dallas hasn't hurt the NFL, and it hasn't hurt Zeke. So I don't think that that's invalid. That's an invalid point, in my opinion. Not like that, but Zeke gets in trouble all the time, and he's not even in LA. He's not even, like, all year round. And didn't this incident that took place, wasn't he in LA when this happened?
I think so. It was either LA or Vegas, but I think it was LA.
And so, like, so then you're going to bring him to a bigger market like LA where he's exposed to more potential distractions. Like we're already concerned about him being eligible to play in Dallas. You put him in LA all year round about more distractions around celebrities and superstars like that, and you don't think he's gonna, like, is he even gonna be able to make money for the NFL if he's off
but
the field?
If Dallas's whole point is that they don't want to pay a running back,
but that's the thing, but Melvin Gordon wants to be paid, so, like,
right, why, but do you not pay him that much?
But he's wanting he's wanting Todd Gurley money because that's what the market says right now. Everybody says that the market right now for running backs is Todd Gurley.
Right. And every contract, for some reason, is the next record-setting contract in sports. Right.
But let me ask you this, Adam. If you had to pay one of those players, who are you going to pay? Are you going to pay Zeke, or are you going to pay Melvin Gordon?
I don't know. I might not pay either of them. I'd probably pay Zeke over.
Exactly. You know. So why would you trade the player you're more likely to pay?
Because Zeke goes to a team that automatically he becomes the face of the franchise, which is what he wants to do.
But Melvin
he's the face right now in Dallas. But
Melvin Gordon can't stay healthy, Adam. That's the thing, though. And I understand that Zeke, you don't know. You know, he could be off the field for product reasons, but he can't stay on the field.
He's behind a way better offensive line.
Keep talking.
I got ball up the middle without getting knocked down and having a concussion.
I see what you're saying, Adam, but I disagree. Like I said, I completely disagree with it, man.
Full-on pulled a Molly Karam from earlier this week, huh?
Yes. I was so outraged by your take that I had to step away.
I like it. What was that for? That was for Max Kellerman saying that Kobe wasn't on the all-generation team. He was on the worst team, all-worst-generation team.
Yeah, they said that because of his Achilles injuries and things like that, that he said that Kobe Bryant wasn't on the all-generation team.
Yeah, Kellerman needs to stick to boxing a lot of times. But anyway, so back to we talked about Zeke, but we didn't talk about Dallas, really. You know, they bring back Jason Witten, who had a solid connection with Dak Prescott. He was arguably his number one receiver he went to while he was there. Their defense is pretty stout again. They paid DeMarcus Lawrence, if Zeke plays, they're a really good team if Zeke plays. If he doesn't play, you know, there's a lot of question marks. But behind a good offensive line, any running back can look decent for a short period of time.
Like you already said, they're talented. I mean, they picked up, like I said, they have Amari Cooper, and they picked up Devontae Adams, or someone they picked up from the Packers last season. Can't remember his name. They picked up another wide receiver from the Packers last season. Randall Cobb. So obviously they gave Dak another weapon, which we discussed the previous show. He needs, because he's not a franchise player, in my opinion. So he's
more important for that team than Zeke is. Yeah.
Disagree. But the Cowboys, they have a great defense. You know, I think the only way that they're going to go anywhere is if Zeke Elliott plays. If he sits out, I think they're going to be hurting tremendously about it. I do think that they're going to be fighting at the top for the NFC East. And, you know, we're going to give our prediction here shortly. But I do think they should be a playoff team this year. They definitely should. I just want to see how well Dak Prescott impresses me. I'm still waiting for him to impress me. Now he's had a few moments where he's impressed me, like that playoff game against Seattle. He did some things that were pretty impressive. Now whether or not he can continue to do that and be consistent, that's the thing. Did you know that I don't know if this is an entire career of the last few seasons, but Adam, do you know you can count pretty much on one hand how many times he's thrown more than two touchdowns in a game? You can count on one hand how many times he's done it.
Hey, they've made the playoffs every year, unlike the Falcons and the Steelers. So,
how can you say every year when it's been two out of the last 3 years? I mean, the Falcons have been in the Super Bowl in the playoffs the last two of the last 3 years.
No, they weren't. Oh, yeah, they were. You're right.
What's your point?
You're right.
And haven't your Steelers been in there two of the last 3 years?
Right? Yeah, you're right.
Anyway, so and what do we all get in the long run? We weren't holding that Lombardi trophy. You know, my team did for three quarters, and then Tom Brady did what he did. So, but anyway, so like I said, Dak Prescott, I mean, I'm not saying he doesn't deserve to get paid. He just doesn't deserve to get paid first. He also doesn't deserve to get paid top quarterback money, but I know how this league works. It'll just be interesting to see who they pay first. But all contracts aside, this Cowboys team at full strength, which means all their players are at camp. They're a playoff team, and they should be a Super Bowl contending team. Again, that's just assuming how this whole Zeke Elliott thing goes. So that's my opinion on the Cowboys. Did you have any additional thing on the Cowboys?
No, I don't like them very much. Their fans are really annoying. I'm surrounded by them here in Oklahoma City.
Yeah, selfishly, I want Zeke because fantasy-wise, I have a really tough decision, Adam. I have the number two pick in our fantasy league, and I don't want to be – I'm considering leaning towards Ezekiel Elliott with that number two pick. However, I don't want to be left at the altar like Le'Veon Bell did to you guys last year. A lot of people and make them my top, and he sits out the entire year. So I'm monitoring the situation very closely.
Rob, you can say whatever you want, but we all know who you're going to go with the second pick. So
I'm not going with Julio.
Okay.
Promise you. I know what gets me wins in the fantasy.
Okay.
It's quarterbacks and running backs, and those are the two breadwinners. So I can already tell you, I'm going to go ahead and tell y'all, my first pick is going to be a running back. Now it's a matter of who it's going to be. Anyway, so moving on, let's go with the Eagles now. So obviously Carson Wentz, he got his contract extension. Even though he has missed, he hasn't played a single playoff game yet, man. And that's why a lot of people like Shannon Sharpe is saying, you know, it's funny, like, you know, Skip Bayless says how confident he is in Dak Prescott, but apparently the Cowboys aren't, because a player who's played in no playoff game and has missed way more games compared to someone like Dak who's played every single game, he's already got paid. So what's that kind of say about your confidence in wins compared to Dak Prescott? But anyway, I think he deserved it. He would have been the MVP if he wouldn't have got hurt. Tom Brady, I think, should not have won it because Wentz, in my opinion, was the MVP that year. But anyway, he's back. He says he's healthy. The Eagles got DeSean Jackson back again, who's probably one of the best deep threat wide receivers the NFL has ever had, at least of recent memory.
His best years were in Philly also.
Exactly. So he makes a reunion with the Eagles. The only thing that I'm concerned about is what's the one thing that the – Eagles have kind of been able to bank on him if Wentz gets hurt.
Nick Foles.
Exactly. Nick Foles or is Skip Bayless calls him the Magic Man or something like that. Or he calls him Fool's Gold or what, something like that. He has his nickname for him. And he was loved in that locker room. They built a shrine for him in the locker room. But now he plays for the – where is he at now?
I forget. Jacksonville.
Yeah, he plays for Jacksonville. So now if Carson Wentz gets hurt or is struggling, who's going to be the backup? So that's going to be the question. I honestly don't know who's his backup right now. So that's my concern. I think the Eagles should be – I mean, they're going to be up there at the top as well. I think they will be a playoff team. But like I said, I am concerned. And I'm going to ask you the same thing. Is Adam, are you concerned that how if Carson Wentz can stay healthy the entire season?
So the backup quarterback is Nate Sudfeld. Never heard of him.
The name sounds familiar, but I can't.
So the two things I have, my notes I took earlier for Philly, you stole right off my paper here, was Wentz, can he stay healthy for a full season? And the addition of DeSean Jackson is going to just be nothing but positive for that team as long as they can give him the ball. I think the Eagles, they won a Super Bowl. They know what to do. They haven't – most of that glue from that team's together. They still have Zach Ertz, who will tell you where we think he is ranked above or with the best tight ends later. But their offense is still really good, you know. And I think Nick Foles, let's be honest, he did a lot, but a lot of it was that offense he had. That he had a great – he inherited a great offense, and he's a veteran quarterback. So – We'll see how good he is being in Jacksonville. But with that being said, I think Philly's a playoff team. And depending on what happens in Dallas, it'll be interesting to see what happens in the division. But they're the clear first or second best team in the division, however you want to put it. They've got a very good defense still. Their quarterback's young and clicking. Plus, he just got a contract too, didn't he? He's not in his rookie contract anymore, right?
I don't think so.
I could be wrong, but Philly's gonna be a good team.
So. My only question with the Eagles is their running back situation. I don't know if you watched last year. They were switching in and out 2 to 3 different running backs. They did pick up the Bears running back.
Howard.
Howard. So he's probably going to be the primary running back next year. So they got an upgrade on running back, in my opinion. So this should be a really good team. And like you already said, they have Ertz, and we're going to get to him here shortly when we talk about tight ends. But Ertz was a top 5 tight end last year. And that was with Foles and with Wentz. So, so obviously to him, it doesn't matter who's at the helm. So, so I think Ertz is going to have another great year. So I think, like you said, that they're going to be a playoff team. And, we'll get to in just a moment who you think is going to win. And, I think based on our standings, I think it's going to show who I have a little bit more faith in and how great of a season I think they're going to have.
Right. And then here's one thing I just looked up too, Rob. Because I was watching the NFL Network earlier today, and they were talking about it. Philly has the 26th easiest schedule in the NFL next year. As an average, the overall win loss percentage of the teams that they play this year is below 500. Whereas the Cowboys they're tied for the 14th toughest, which their average of the teams that they played based off their records last year is 500. So. Huh. Having an easy schedule helps out a lot of things.
Well, I can tell you one thing. Their week two opponent's not easy by no means.
Oh, they're playing those playing the Steelers?
No, they're playing them Falcons down in Atlanta. So that's an L for them. So The Falcons are going to be 2-0 because they're going to take care of Kyle Pickup's Vikings in week one. Pickup, if you're watching at home. And then they're going to take on – they're going to beat the Eagles to go 2-0.
So, yeah, you're delusional.
Then they're going to be already two wins. They're already going to be 2 wins knocked off on their way to 10 plus wins.
You're delusional, man.
So be ready, Adam. 2-0, baby. Woo!
Wishful thinking.
No. Hey, what's the motto for the Falcons? Rise up. We're going to rise up over them damn Eagles. So.
Okay, we'll see.
Anyway, moving on to the Giants. They're not as extravagant to talk about. Looks like Eli Manning is going to be a quarterback yet again. For how long, who knows. They did draft Daniel Jones out of Duke. From all the things that we've been hearing from him, he hasn't really been all that spectacular. You see memes on Facebook that he's pretty much the same identical to Manning. So not only that, but they've already lost Sterling Shepard. They lost him to a fractured thumb. I think he's going to be out a few weeks. And then they have Golden Tate, who's suspended for PEDs. So now they're already out two of their top receivers, and they have a question mark at quarterback, which means there's been only one consistent thing in the past. Now he's gone in Odell Beckham, which now leads their only really valuable threat in their offense, and that's Saquon. If anyone who watched the show a couple weeks ago, I said that, or last week, that Saquon Barkley, in my opinion, is going to be the number one ranked running back in next year, as far as what he's going to do on the field, assuming he stays healthy. And that's my question I'm going to ask you, Adam, based on what we just said, the fact that they don't have a valuable quarterback really right now, not only that, but now they've lost their two threats at running a wide receiver. So that means that even more than ever, Saquon's going to get a lick of the touches. Are you concerned whether he's going to stay healthy all year?
No, absolutely. They're actually beating the Jets right now 14-12. Daniel Jones has thrown one touchdown pass.
I doubt that Saquon's playing, right?
No, he's not playing.
Yeah, I wouldn't think
so. But the Giants, everyone loved the Giants when they – shocked the Patriots not once but twice. There's two of them. So I mean,
well, yeah, the one that stuck to his helmet.
Yeah, but man, they're kind of the laughing stock of the NFL right now. Their owner just follows the trend of a lot of New York owners of just being extremely. I don't even know what word to use that's appropriate for our show,
He's stupid. He's stupid.
Him and James Dolan are idiots, to say the least. But I think that Saquon, they'll overuse Saquon for sure. They still have Evan Ingram, which is, again, we'll see if he's on any of our top five tight end lists. But man, they just, you know, and when you play fantasy football, you look at things from a fantasy perspective a lot. So it's hard to just sometimes look at it from that angle and then actually think of the whole team. But with that being said, the Giants would be terrible this year. Eli will get hurt at some point. Then they'll throw in Daniel Jones, and he'll probably get hurt at some point. Saquon will get hurt. They're all about in rebuild mode. You know, they got the safety from the Browns for Odell Beckham with a first, second round draft pick. The guy out of Michigan, I can't think of his name for some reason. But
yeah, I know who you're talking about.
Yeah, I mean they're not a playoff team, and they're right where they were last year at this time. You know, what bunch of question marks for as far as how many games are they going to lose?
Absolutely. Yeah, I'm with you. I'm concerned about Saquon's health as well, just for the fact that, I mean, now he is that offense, and now more than ever. At least whenever Odell Beckham was there, they had a little bit of a threat to worry about on the defense. Now they don't really have a threat to anyone else to, you know. So I really do worry about Saquon, and this is why more than ever I feel like Zeke needs to get his money, because what's going to happen is they're going to beat the hell out of Saquon Barkley for the entire season. And when it's time to pay Saquon, if he has duplicate years like he's probably going to have next year, they're going to try to use it as leverage. Like, oh no, man, you kind of slowed down. You looked a little beat up, even though those two prior years he's been the entire offense. It's just that's the lifespan and the life of a running back. So the one thing I do like about both Saquon and Zeke though is they're not just backfield running backs. They can catch the ball and move out the field with receiving, you know. So I love Saquon. Like I already said, I've already been on record. He's going to be the number one running back in the league. I already said this that as far as our fantasy league is, because that's where I look at everything nowadays. Now I'm debating whether I should take Saquon or Zeke as my number two pick. It's just a matter as I'm playing out this Zeke thing, you know. And part of the reason I want to go with Zeke is because I think he's going to be the rushing title person again. But part of me wants to go with Saquon because he's going to get majority of the touches. But then what comes with that is injury prone. So now I'm leaning towards more Zeke, you know. So I'm in a tough spot right now, Adam.
You really are. But what was the proclamation you made about Julio Jones this year? You said he's going to mess around and get like 3,000 yards or something or not.
Okay, first of all, he said that.
Okay.
And which obviously is not going to happen because there's never been a receiver that got 2,000 yards. So
you think he's going to get a contract to be a top paid wide receiver in football?
Absolutely, he will. And the Falcons
and have 10 Falcons touchdowns said that as well. And he's going to be the second best receiver in the NFL, right?
Well, according to you, he won't be one because that's going to be Odell. But I think it's going to be – I think if you want to compare the two, and I'm willing to do an individual bet between you and I, between Odell and Julio, I think that Julio will have more touchdowns than your boy Odell will. We can bet any time. We can bet a dinner. I don't care what it is. I know we're off topic here, but since you brought him up, you want to bet on that?
Yeah, I'll bet with you. And the bet will be if when I win, you got to say one negative thing about LeBron James.
Okay. Sure. All right, fine.
And then if I lose, I don't know, I guess you want me to say something negative about Westbrook?
No, you got to say something negative about – no, because you already do that already. Oh, no, you need to go on record and say it's time for your boy Carmelo to call it quits because he even got rejected by Team USA. He's one of the most decorative Olympic players of all time. He can't even get on the Olympic team. But that's
yeah, let's save that for the end of the show. Thanks for stabbing me in the heart early. Appreciate it.
Bah! I had to do it. So anyway, I don't expect much for the Giants as well. Moving on to the Redskins, just the same. I don't expect much from them either. Is Adrian Peterson, is he back? Is he playing with them again?
He's with them, but that the running back from LSU, Geis, I think Darius Geis is his name. He tore his ACL in the preseason last year, missed the whole year. So he's back, ready to go for his rookie season.
I mean, he's probably not going to put the same number. Do you think he's going to be on the team still, though?
Who? Adrian Peterson?
Yeah.
he's got to be, or else he's going to be possibly in very, very large legal trouble because he's in debt significantly. I don't know if you read that article the other day. Came up about a week ago.
I did not read about that.
And I could be wrong on the million amount, but I think he's like $5 million in debt right now. With, so he's like, literally playing to get himself out of debt.
Like IRS or like does child support?
Various, no, like he owes, it's either a lawyer, I think it's a lawyer he owes a lot of money to, and then he's got some other investments that he hasn't made payments on.
Yeah, I guess you're right on that. And he's not making those big paydays anymore. So no. You're actually right. But other than AAP, you know, the big thing is they drafted Dwayne Haskins at Ohio State. Now the question mark is who they have. They're going to have a starting quarterback. They're going to have – they have Dwayne Haskins. They have Colt McCoy, and they have Case Keenum. If you're the Redskins, who are you starting at quarterback next year?
If I'm the Redskins, I've actually got that written down. I'm not playing Haskins. I'm letting him sit and develop, and I'm probably starting Case Keenum.
Yeah, I would say that as well, because Case Keenum had a little bit more success than Colt McCoy.
But here's why I don't play Haskins at all, because I think that, let's say Alex Smith happens to come back, because he's not out for the whole year.
I think his career is done, Adam.
I do too. I'm just saying. Let's say for giggles, and you know what, he comes back.
He's definitely not playing next year. Like,
okay, let's say that he does. Just on the off chance that
hypothetically, okay,
he does, and like crazy things happen, like the Falcons win the Super Bowl and some other crazy crap. But
which is,
let's just say that he makes. Let's say he does come back, and Haskins is playing, you know, decently well. Now you've got three quarterbacks that you've invested money in. Well, you got a rookie quarterback that you drafted in the first round. Then you've got two quarterbacks in Keenum and Alex Smith, because Keenum got a decent contract with Denver. So that contract comes over with him to Washington. So now you got three quarterbacks that you're paying money to, and you've got, you know, one's a rookie, one's kind of a mid-level veteran, then you got a guy closer to the end of his career. I mean, it's, I just think it's a bad situation, so I don't play Haskins at all this year. I let him sit and wait for this mess at the quarterback position to kind of play itself out, and then he steps in.
Right. Now, I agree with you there, but nowadays, when you take a quarterback that high, you have to play him early. So I think you got to find out early, and you got to find out now whether he's your guy.
However, Aaron Rodgers sit out before he played.
Well, right. And I was just about to say that, however, you can flip that and say that some of these players would be more successful if they also did sit behind, you know, for a few years. But let's think about this, who we were talking about here. Aaron Rodgers sat behind Brett Favre. None of these players that he'd be sitting behind or anything, and he couldn't even hold Brett Favre's jock strap. You know, so what is he going to be learning from a Colt McCoy or learning from a Case Keenum, who – Case Keenum has, for the most part, been a backup his entire career.
Right, but you're already going to be bad.
I mean, yeah,
you're both saying, right? You're not. They're not. They're probably a step above the Giants.
I'm just saying. But what can you make? What argument can you make that he's going to be learning anything behind Colt McCoy, Case Keenum?
Don't let him get hurt. Don't, you know.
Other than that aspect, but what I'm saying is, it's not like if Alex Smith was there, oh hell yeah, you definitely sit him, let him learn behind Alex Smith, because Alex Smith, although he hasn't had much success in the postseason, he's a valuable starter in this league, so definitely you can learn stuff from Alex Smith. Even if Alex Smith is not playing this year, because he's not going to, because the Falcons have a better chance than Alex Smith coming back. You want to throw my Falcons under the bus there? I want to know, is Alex Smith going to be an advisor? Is he going to be around the team still? If he is, you know, then I could say, yeah, let him sit and let Alex Smith teach him a few things. So I'll be interested to see if Alex Smith is even part of the team at all.
I'm sure he absolutely is. And I mean,
I would too. I mean, I just know.
Did Mahomes like thank him a lot for helping him grow and kind of showing him the way?
Oh, I'm sure he did. I'm sure he did. And yeah, I mean, so, but definitely sit Haskins. But what I'm saying is eventually he's going to start playing. He'll be playing by the end of the season, because, like, again, you don't draft a quarterback that high and not see what you have.
I just don't think it's smart, man, especially when you know your team's going to suck. So,
but that's another thing, because look at the two major quarterbacks that are going to be coming to the league in the next year or two, and Tua and Trevor Lawrence. So they're going to want to try to figure out whether Haskins is their guy, Because if they're not, they're going to go after someone like Lawrence and Tua if they're going to be at the draft, the lottery.
What about Kelly Bryant?
Or, okay, if you want to throw Kelly Bryant in there as well. So if they're not going to do as well as we suspected, they're probably not. They're going to be in the and possibly in the running for, I don't think Trevor Lawrence, I think Trevor Lawrence still has one more year after this
year. He does.
But Tua comes out next year, and also a Kelly Bryant. So you could potentially decide to roll. I mean, or, you know, maybe that's another thing. Maybe you roll with Trevor Haskins for a year, and then next year, and if they did, then you go after Trevor Lawrence.
Which, I don't do it because I think Washington having a bad year this year, they fired the coach too. I don't think that what's his name's brother, Gruden's brother, it's Jay Gruden, I think. I don't think he makes it out of this season. So I think why throw him in there to learn? You know, again, I think experience is the best way to learn how to play for sure. But when you're, it's there's no boxes that are getting checked off that are positive in that aspect, at least from my opinion. So I don't think that's smart to play him.
Yeah, I mean, you're absolutely right. I definitely agree with you. So Adam, let's go ahead and give our favorites or our picks 1 through 4 in this division. I'm gonna let you go first, in whatever order you want to give, go right ahead.
All right, I'm gonna go with the worst team's gonna be the Giants. They'll win below 500. They'll probably end up winning like maybe 4 to 7 games, 7 on the very high end. Number 3, the Redskins. I think they're probably at best a 500 team, if that. But this division, it does kind of can be competitive. In recent years, really hasn't been. Number 2 is where it's tricky, man, because it just really depends on what happens in Dallas right now and if Wentz can stay healthy. So both teams have some question marks. But I'm going to go – I think the Cowboys are a playoff team, but I think they're going to – I think they don't win the division. I think Philly squeaks out the division at probably 10-6. But I do think the Cowboys are a wild card team.
All right, Adam. Well, you must have been reading my notes, stealing them before the show. I have the exact same order. I have the same.
That's 2 weeks in a row now.
Yeah, I have the same as order. Like I said, I wanted to go with the Cowboys. I had every intention of going with the Cowboys one, but if the contract talks were going a little bit more further than they are right now, I'd have more confidence. But I would not be surprised if week one or week two. Because the Cowboys do open up their season with kind of a favorable schedule. So I think that the Cowboys – and Jerry Jones has already said that there will it's a next man up. So I don't think that he's bluffing when he says that. I think that they would be willing to sit out 2 games or 3 games without Zeke. I mean, they did it with Emmitt Smith. I mean, granted, the team was a lot more better than they were just coming off of a Super Bowl. But I definitely think that, you know, I think Zeke will miss at least 1 or 2 games. And, yeah, these are favorable – matches that they should win, but let's say they lose those games and then you're already behind in the division. But then again, with the Eagles, the same thing. If Carson Wentz doesn't stay healthy, then they have to go with the Cowboys. So there's kind of asterisks to each of my points. But if everything goes how I think it's going to go, I still like the Eagles just because I trust Carson Wentz more than I trust Dak. That's the only reason why. It's only quarterback wise. That's the only reason I'm going with them. So yeah, so that is funny. Adam, 2 weeks in a row. Next week we're going to talk about the AFC South. There's some good quarterbacks in that division.
You got any locks for this division, Rob?
What's that?
You have any locks for this division?
Any locks? I guess my only lock would be is if Zeke plays every single game, I think he'll win the rushing title again. That would be my lock. As far as any other locks, I say that Carson Wentz, assuming he stays healthy, could be an MVP candidate. I think those would be my only 2 locks this season.
Okay.
What about you?
The Giants will have the number 1 pick in the 2020 NFL draft.
Okay, that's a pretty realistic one.
I got to go with something where I'm not throwing the dice too much on it, because last week I think I made some proclamations that we'll see if they come true. I'm going to stay by them, though, because I do believe what I said last
week. But yeah, some of the stuff that you said last week was pretty – those are pretty – some hot takes, man.
Well, you know, Mello's got his hoodie Mello type thing. I was treadmill Adam last week, so when I get moving on the treadmill, you know, stuff just kind of starts flowing and the blood's rushing. You make some weird decision-making process.
Everybody start hashtagging that. Let's make that a trend on Twitter. What did you say, treadmill, Adam?
Yeah, I want my own emoji by the end of
the night. He wants his own emoji, and he wants to be trending on Twitter by the end of the night. Let's make it happen. So, Adam, let's shift focus here. Like I said, we're breaking down top five of the most valuable positions. Week one, we broke down wide receivers. Last week, we broke down running backs. This week, we'll start with tight ends, Adam. So let's start with you, Adam. Give me your.
No, I gave my division picks first.
Okay. So I'm going to go with number four or number five. I'm going to go with Eric Ebron. Eric Ebron had a career transforming year last year with Andrew Luck. He was a top five tight end last year after he played with the Raiders the year before. It was like it was a different tight end altogether. So I think with under Andrew Luck again, I think he's going to be also a major focus for him. So I'm going to go Eric Ebron at number five. Number four, I'm going to go with David Njoku of the Cleveland Browns. Towards the end of the season there, he was becoming a threat for Baker Mayfield. And I think at this point, I think Baker Mayfield, he's pretty good about spreading the wealth around. Now, we'll be interested to see how he does with two top receivers. But according to Adam, it's going to be an easy transition.
Absolutely.
So, but I give David Njoku at four. Number three, I'm going to go with your boy, Vance McDonald. I think he was a good, Big Ben. I think even now is going to rely on his tight end because he's not going to have big chest over there. And with Juju going to be locked down, I think the tight end position is becoming a very valuable position. Number two, I'm going to go with Zach Ertz. He was also a top three tight end last year. So I think he's going to do well. I just think the Eagles are going to have a great year this year, and I think Zach Ertz is going to put up numbers. Number one, I'm going to go with Travis Kelce. I think he's arguably been the best tight end for years. Not only that, but you have Patrick Mahomes. Patrick Mahomes is going to – he's been a valuable threat from Patrick Mahomes, and he's just a beast, man. And here's a story about Travis Kelce real quick. In one of my fantasy leagues last year, Adam – yep. I accidentally, because the Chiefs had a bye week the previous week, they played against the Raiders, and I accidentally forgot to set him in my lineup. And this was the last week of the fantasy before the playoffs. I accidentally sat Travis Kelce on accident, and he had this career game. He had like three touchdowns and things like that. And because I sat him on my bench, I lost my matchup, and I didn't make the playoffs. So, yeah. So Travis Kelce is going to be number one. In my opinion, I don't think it's even close. And I know some people are saying, what about Jason Witten? Yeah, what about him? So, what about you, Mr. Birchman?
All right. Honestly, I don't think this was too difficult to do. Right outside the top five, I think Jared Cook for the Saints. I think he's easy to look at and say that, oh, he's going to definitely do well with being with Drew Brees.
And he did okay with David Carr last year.
He did okay. I agree. But, I mean, everywhere he's been projected to be a really take that next step, and he just has never done it. So we'll see if he can do it, Drew Brees. I got a kind of sleeper at number five, Rob. I'm going to go with Mark Andrews. He's the tight end for the Baltimore Ravens out of the University of Oklahoma. I think that
have some bias there, Adam?
No, I'm not an OU fan, but I think that, for one, I got to mention it if I live 30 minutes from the campus. So
I thought you were an
OU fan. What?
I thought you were an OU fan.
I'll watch them, but I'm not really a fan.
Oh, you're more of a Baker fan.
Yes.
Okay.
But I think that with Lamar Jackson, I think he's going to have a lot of short passes. And absolutely. Mark Andrews kind of came along towards the end of last year. He had some good catches. He had some decent games. So I think he's going to be a sleeper at number five.
I like that. I like that.
Number four, I got Eric Ebron. I had him on my fantasy team last year. Did great when he was healthy. That's been the thing for him. He had a couple good years in Detroit, too. But when he's healthy, because he's been injured every year. So,
yeah, that's what it was with Detroit. I thought it was Oakland, but it was Detroit. You're right.
Yeah, Jared Cook was with the Jared Cook played with Oakland last year. He played with the Rams a year. He's been all around.
Right.
Number three, I'm kind of surprised that you didn't have this guy on your list, George Kittle out of the 49ers.
I almost had him in my top five, and he almost broke Shannon Sharpe's record last year for most receiving yards in a game.
Without his starting quarterback.
And he did it in the first. He almost did it in the first half.
Yeah, without Garoppolo passing the ball.
Yeah, you're right. It was tough leaving him out of the top five.
Number two and one, I've got the same as you. I've got Zach Ertz at two and Travis Kelce at one, but I don't think it's as big of a gap that you're thinking it is between
Kelce. Yeah, I don't think he could have gone wrong with either one.
I think Ertz with Wentz. Again, and I mean, Ertz is good with Wentz or Foles, if you look at it. He had a really good connection with Foles, but I think that he's just a good tight end, plays the position well, reads the field well. But Travis Kelce, you're right, with the Chiefs offense, he's on another level. So
exactly. Man, Adam, just kind of get scared. We can't be agreeing all this much. What much of a debate show do we have if we agree too much?
Well, you know, we're without our backbone again this week.
Yeah, man, Mr. Lipitz, we need you back, my friend. So hopefully we get Lustin Lipitz back on soon. Adam, any closing stories you want to touch before we wrap up this episode?
So did you get to check out any of ESPN, the Ocho yesterday?
No, I didn't. I didn't. I wanted to, but I didn't. I know that they had the dodgeball. One of the things I was wondering, I don't know if you can fill me in on this, Adam, what is the bus? They had an event involving a bus, that bus figure eight or something like that. Like, did you get to see what that was?
I didn't really get to see a lot of it.
I was going to Google
it. I watched a lot of highlights last night. And
I saw that you did the dodgeball one, the one that USB Canada.
Yeah, that was pretty cool. And then I watched like slippery step climbing. That was pretty interesting.
I'm going to have to go back and watch YouTube because like there's a lot of events I'm thinking like, what the hell is that?
So do you think that they ESPN got that idea from dodgeball for sure about the Ocho?
Oh, definitely. They've already said that's where they got it from. Definitely. Definitely. I think it's a great idea. I really do. Because nowadays, man, sometimes I'll be sitting on ESPN one time and they'll have play-by-play with some of the weirdest sports. Like, what? They'll have play-by-play with, like, chess.
Like, yeah.
Like, they have play-by-play with chess now? Like, so why not do with these sports, you know? Like, I think it's great. I really do. It gives someone like an average Joe like you and I, no pun intended, to dodgeball, but it gives average Joes like us to potentially be famous at sports that make absolutely no damn sense.
Yeah, I definitely thought it was a good move by ESPN. And I
maybe you and I should develop our own dodgeball team or our own little slip, you know, whatever some of those create, and try to form our own team and see if we can't be on the Ocho next year.
Let's do it, man. You know, people that are fans that are out there watching, give us some ideas because, I mean, I'm obviously the most athletic out of our group that we have here. So, I mean, we'll carry the team, but whatever ideas you have.
That's questionable, Adam. Okay, Adam. Anyway.
Hey, I'm like a fine wine, man. The older I get, the better I get.
Okay. So. All right, Adam.
But no, there's
your head. We better wrap up this show.
Yeah. One more kind of shout out I want to give to the audience here. We all three of us are avid video game players, and we played Madden and 2K, which 2K is for NBA. If any of you guys play or girls play or want to ever hop on the mic with us, we've had some pretty interesting conversations within our group. And it's not just us three. There's a bunch of people that play with us. So, you know, maybe we could look into doing our Twitch thing or something like that down the road. But let us know if you want to play Madden or 2K or, you know, or ever on the mic. Send us a friend request, and we'd love to talk to you on there too.
Absolutely, absolutely. Adam, I want to thank you for taking the time out as usual to do this show. Like I said, hopefully we get Dustin back in a few days here. As always, thanks for those who are watching on Facebook Live and also those who are listening on all the major podcasts. We appreciate it, man.
Yeah, let's give before we hang up here, some people that have been watching. Kyle Pickup, thank you for commenting on the Isaac Bruce jersey. I like it.
Stryker says that David Carr is a top four quarterback this year. I don't believe it. Oh, well, speaking of, Adam, I need to ask you one thing. What's going on with your boy, man? Your boy with his frostbite on his foot. What's up with that boy?
I was hoping to dodge that.
How does your boy not forget to wear socks?
No, it wasn't that. It was proper footwear, man.
No, he wasn't wearing socks.
That's what they determined it was. It wasn't the shoes he was wearing.
Yeah, it was, he wasn't wearing socks. How do you go into hypro whatever clip that's like 1,000 degrees below or whatever and doesn't wear socks?
That could be as much on the person administering the...
I'm just saying, that's the kind of stuff that your boy Antonio...
No, if you're going for an MRI, if you're going for an MRI, do they not make you take off all your metal and okay. anything? In your pocket. I get on
that. What I'm saying is that this is the type of stuff that annoys me about Antonio Brown. He's not playing right now because he has a frostbite.
But that's like, on the person administering the damn hyperbolic chamber. Only, whatever the hell he
only
was
Antonio
in.
Brown. Only Antonio Brown. This man, is the quick, same guy that on, this is the same guy.
Carmelo like, and man, you know,
this, it's all.
About, I don't come man, on here and talk negatively about Matt Ryan or Julio
because Matt Ryan doesn't do any of this stupid shit that Julio, that your boy Brown does. Your boy Brown has to show up 1 year in a helicopter to training camp, and then this year he shows up in a hot air balloon. Like, why can't your boy just show up and just play?
But he's still the number one wide receiver in the NFL.
Then he gives himself his stupid and self nickname called Mr. Big Chest. Like, what the hell, man? That's what annoys me about your boy Brown.
Okay, but T.O. did the same type of stuff, and everyone.
Yeah, and what's T.O.? And what happened to T.O.? His career got shut down early because he was so much about himself. And if Brown doesn't watch it, he's going to be the same thing, man. Saying he way to kick off your brand new team sitting out because of frostbite.
No, here you know what my next call on what Antonio Brown's gonna do is he's gonna start dating the Kardashian.
You know what? I hope he does because that means his career is for sure coming to an end.
I don't know. We've never seen it in football. Well, we have seen it in football, Reggie Bush. So I mean,
yeah. When what's Reggie Bush doing? He's doing takes on Fox Sports right now. That's all I'm saying. He hadn't done shit since he was in USC. Let's just be real. But anyway, I just had to get that off my chest because your boy, only Antonio Brown would be sitting out over frostbite. If there was one NBA NFL player right now, if you were to tell me this guy's going to miss because of frostbite, man, there's only a select few people that would come to mind, like, oh, this person would be the reason. Antonio Brown would definitely be one of those, I believe it was him. Because that boy's, man.
That is on the person administering that test or whatever the hyperbolic chamber they was in, not doing their job and making sure the proper footwear on.
Just saying, like,
that guy deserves to be fired.
Just saying, like, just think about this. You're in the locker room with your teammates, man. What are you sitting on, man? I have a hamstring issue. Oh, my leg hurts. Why you ain't sitting? Because I got a frostbite. Like,
more guys are going to be getting frostbites trying to be like him.
Like, that's so ridiculous. The same thing that tells you can't even walk in if you have sweat because it could burn and burn skin off, but he goes without socks. Like, what a dumbass.
Quit hating on my boys, man.
His new nickname should be Mr. Big Dummy. That's his new nickname, Mr. Big Dummy. That's,
if you're watching Antonio Brown, just ignore this jabroni on the other side of the screen.
No more Mr. Big Chest. Your new nickname is Mr. Big Dummy. You know, way to start out. And you know what? I hope John Gruden gets mad enough and cuts your ass. I know it's not going to happen, but if any coach was to cut him, it would be John Gruden. That's all I'm saying. So anyway, Mr. Big Dummy is now his name for me for the entire season.
Good for you, buddy. Good for you.
Anyway, that's all I wanted to say about your boy, and also about your boy Carmelo. Can't even get on the Olympic team.
Okay, here. I know we're trying to end this, but here's one thing. It would benefit the U.S. to put him on that team because it's not even the Olympic team because it's not the Olympics.
It's the FIBA
championship. FIBA championships, okay? He's dominated in this type of play every time he's been on the team. Have him there as a mentor. If you're Popovich, you're already going to win. Your team's going to win no matter what. Have him there as a mentor.
That's the question.
If he can mentor these guys and show that he's serious, that should open up a door for him to get on an NBA team.
You know, I have a nickname.
Him and Antonio Brown can go
get
all over their body.
His nickname is Mr. Irrelevant.
That's KD from when he was in OKC, man.
Okay, Mr. Overrated, in my opinion. So we have Mr. Big Dummy and Mr. Overrated on the show for Carmelo.
You just opened up a box that next week I will have nicknames for Matt Ryan.
Bring it!
And Julio Jones.
Bring it. I don't care. Just bring it.
Man. I'll save LeBron for a little bit, but you'll get a nickname for LeBron.
Bring it. You know your nickname, you can call him GOAT. GOAT James. Bad.
Last thing. You got a problem with Taco Tuesdays?
I love Taco Tuesday. I look forward to Taco Tuesday. Every time it's Tuesday, I look forward to seeing what he releases next.
People are coming out and saying that they now there's issue now with there's, him making fun of the demographic and everything. So,
you know, I don't care, man. People are soft these days. If you're offended by it, grow up and grow a pair. You insensitive about everything nowadays. I don't give a damn. Like, everybody questioning whether he's a good father. Like, man, just leave the man alone. Like, the boy is just great. Just leave him alone. Worry about your own damn kids. Worry about your own damn life. Like, that's my hot take, you know. You got me fired up now, Adam. You got me fired up. I don't give a damn. Good
thing in the last minute of the show.
Man, now I'm going to bring the same energy next week about Mr. Big Dummy and Mr. Overrated.
Bring it.
Bring it. Anyway, Adam, like I said, thanks for watching, coming, joining the show again with me. Everybody, thanks for watching on Facebook Live.
Hey, thank you for the first time in a long time for everything working 100%.
Right. Shout out to Be Live. Shout out to Anchor for working.
Facebook.
Like, this is the first time in a few weeks everything's worked. So we're going to get off here before we jinx everything. But anyway, we love y'all. We're going to like and share our video, and then follow us on Spotify, iTunes, and Google Podcasts. But this has been the No BS Podcast, and we'll see you guys next week. Appreciate y'all tuning in. No BS is out.